Hello, how are we all doing? Good, nice to see you. It's a nice rainy day outside, isn't it? 2nd of June, straight into the summer. Rain, lovely. Right, let's see if I can get this. Oh, it's because I haven't got any pictures on. So, there's some things that I'm not very good at, and starting a talk is one. And, but gardening is one of those things. I hate gardening. I'm useless at it. And it's that time of year now, isn't it, where if you have a garden, you have to do it. Otherwise, it turns into a jungle, and you have no choice. The other day, I was like, right, I really need to do something in the garden. I filled up five bags full. It wasn't even like half of it. There's so many bushes and shrubs and stuff that the landlord put in our garden. It's an absolute nightmare. Now, the problem is, what makes it worse, is my next door neighbor is amazing at gardening. He is like one of those, he's just amazing at all house stuff. The last two summers, he built his own conservatory, like himself, single-handedly over 2 years. And every year, he's like improving it. He's like changed the fence like twice since I've been there. The other day he was like, oh, do you mind if I just pop round to paint, because he wanted to paint the fence from like my side or the top or whatever. And I was like, yeah, sure, go for it. And I was like, oh no, now I have to like clear all the weeds out of that section so we can get there, because he had to do it himself a couple of years ago. Oh, that's embarrassing. So, and his lawn is amazing as well. Like, his lawn is actually green. Because we've got a front garden. His is actually green, and it's actually grass, whereas my one is this, it's kind of like half green, half brown stuff. And then 2 weeks ago, I was mowing the lawn, and my lawnmower broke halfway through, so I had half a cut lawn, and it's so embarrassing. But the good thing is, he does like lend me a hand. So whenever he sees me out there struggling, he'd be like, oh, I've got what you need. Do you want to borrow my strimmer? Or do you want to borrow this? Or one time I was sawing like a bush or something down. And I think it was your saw, Jez. And he could obviously hear it in his garden while he was relaxing in the perfect surroundings. And he just popped his head over the fence and was like, oh, I can hear you sawing away there. I've got an axe if you want to borrow it. So I was like, oh, yeah, okay, great. So then I'm like trying not to kill myself with his axe. Well, I felt like I had to use it, because obviously he could hear, and if I carried on with the saw, he's going to know. So I could just imagine him listening to these like thuds. It's like half tree, half being missed. Oh, it's a disaster. But anyway, he is very helpful, so I do really appreciate it when he comes round. So fair play to him. He is a really good next door neighbor to have. The only thing that's saving me is my neighbor on the other side is a carpenter, and he's like continually redoing his house. So he's had a skip in his front garden for about 3 years, which is constantly being filled. So that's like, compared to that side, I don't look too bad. But if you just look to the right, it's an absolute nightmare. But anyway, thinking of next door neighbors, there's this verse in Matthew's gospel when he records about Jesus' life that really captures my imagination. I've shared it once before, but it says this. He says, Jesus left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea. And so at one point, we know Jesus traveled around in his ministry, but for one time, he set up house in Capernaum. And so for one day, for one family, or for one person, Jesus moved into the house next door. And Jesus was their next door neighbor. And when I think about this, when I imagine that, like, what must that have been like to have Jesus as your next door neighbor? I mean, he'd be popping around for things all the time, wouldn't you? If you, like, ran out of milk or something, you'd be, oh, I'm just going to pop to the shops. Oh, hold on, let's just check if Jesus is in first. You'd be there all the time, wouldn't you? Or the other thing, though, is, you know, sometimes when people get really funny about parking, who parks outside the house, right? Big controversy sometimes. Well, luckily he didn't have cars in Jesus' day, because they would always be rammed outside his house, wouldn't they? The neighbors would be going mental. Like one time, where Jesus says this in Mark 2, it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, so he'd been away and then he came back home, when he returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. And soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. So everyone was excited that Jesus was back there. They knew what he was about, so luckily that there was no parking issues, and they could just, I don't know, stick their horse and cart or just, you know, put their sandals by the side. That's right, plenty of room for that. So for one person at one time, Jesus was their next door neighbor, which is amazing to think about, isn't it? But for us here today, that's who we are on our street and in our community and with our friends at work or at uni or in our family. Because today, Jesus lives in you and Jesus lives in me. He has made his home in us. In Romans, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And so we carry Jesus with us, and we represent him, and we bring access to Jesus to those around us. Paul writes again in Galatians, he says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so Jesus lives in us because God wants to be close to us. And that's why Jesus came in the first place. You know, when God made people, he made us for a relationship with him. And we were never meant to be apart from God. But as people became separated from God, when they turned away from him and lived independently of God, that relationship was broken. And God never wanted us to live apart from him, so he came into the world as Jesus. And as we've shared many times throughout the meeting already, Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. And when he died, it's like he reached out and took God's hand and our hand and brought them back together. And Jesus died for all the wrong things that we've ever done or ever will do, so that nothing can separate us from God's love. And when we choose to follow Jesus and invite him into our lives, in the Bible it says that Jesus himself makes his home in our heart through the Holy Spirit, who is God. Because God wants to be close to us. And he lives so close that he lives within us. So it's no longer us living on our own, but like Paul says here, Christ lives in me. He is that close and our relationship is restored. And it's a gift that anyone can have and anyone can access. And so when Jesus was in Capernaum, for one family, he physically lived next door. But for us, Jesus is really present in just as real a way in our lives today. And I love how John, who was one of Jesus' closest friends, something maybe his nephew, how he puts it in a letter that he wrote. This is from 1 John, where he's describing how real it is for us. And he says, from the very first day, we were there taking it all in. He's talking about being with Jesus. We heard it with our own ears. We saw it with our own eyes. We verified it with our own hands. The word of life, that's Jesus, appeared right before our eyes, and we saw it happen. And now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. The experience of fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too, and your joy will be double our joy. Isn't that amazing? So we miss out no less for Jesus not being here physically because he lives within us by the Holy Spirit, and it's the promise of God, which is amazing. So today, as we're continuing with our theme of the year, which is a year to grow, and Sian last week did an amazing talk, didn't she, about growing in our identity with Jesus. It was so encouraging. And so today I just wanted to look at this part as well, about which follows on from what Sian said about how Christ lives in us and our identity is in him. And so for me, there's two things about thinking about almost how Jesus lives next door, but closer than that, lives in us. And the first one is this, that for us today, let's involve and not forget to involve Jesus in every area of our life because we're invited to ask him. If Jesus was living next door, you'd be popping around every day, wouldn't you? With any time you were worried or had a question or something, you'd be popping around to Jesus, wouldn't you? But Jesus lives in us, so let's ask him in every single thing. Now, here's the thing. With my next-door neighbor, he's so good at stuff like that, and I'm so rubbish that sometimes, like, I feel embarrassed to ask. You know, I feel embarrassed to ask. And sometimes, maybe I think, the sun's out. Yeah, I'll go and mow the lawn. And then I hear him come out, and I can always hear his garage go. My garage goes like this. It's like a squeak because it needs a WD-40, and his, like, sounds like a garage should sound. I hear his garage go, and I'm like, oh, no. It's like, I don't want to go out now because then he's going to see how rubbish I am at it. And he's going to end up helping me again. So sometimes I wait till he's gone. And then I'll go out and do it, you know, because I'm embarrassed. And I think sometimes we can treat Jesus in this way, you know, where we're almost like embarrassed to ask, or we hold back from asking. And maybe there's a few reasons why. Sometimes we can feel maybe a bit awkward, or we don't feel like we can ask God about this. Maybe, you know, we don't feel it's important enough or something, or we don't feel like we can ask. Or other times, you know, when we're in a situation and we're in a tricky situation and it's our own fault, like we've got ourselves stuck in some kind of way. And we feel like, you know, we need to sort ourselves out first. It's a great picture, isn't it? The first photo bomb in history. Let me just put this up a little bit. There we go. Sometimes, you know, when we get ourselves in a pickle, we feel like we've got to solve it ourselves. But in James, it says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Because Jesus is, he loves to rescue. And sometimes it is our own fault. Sometimes we put our foot in it. Sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes by accident, sometimes by choice. But then when we're in that situation and we come to realize where we are, we don't have to solve it all ourselves. We can invite God in to help us, to empower us by the Holy Spirit. I love the story of the prodigal son, you know, when he's there and he's wasted all the money and then it says, you know, he tries to solve himself, doesn't he? He gets a job feeding the pigs. And then at one point he says he comes to his senses and realize the Father at home who loves him. And that's for each one of us. When we're in a situation, let's just come to God straight away because he's there for us and he invites us and he loves to rescue. I remember last year when we were doing Mission to Wales, where it's this thing that we do where we go out into the streets and we share God's love with people, just stop people that we meet and bump into and just say, I just want to let you know that God loves you and has an amazing plan for your life. And then we have a conversation, we pray for people. And last year I was out with Chloe and Russo and we were down in town, weren't we? And there was a girl, maybe in her early 20s, like opposite Lloyd's Bank in that kind of square area there. And she was struggling on crutches. And she just looked, she's only young, but you know, she just looked like she had a really hard life already, you know? And I said to Chloe, oh, why don't you go and chat with her? So they went over and chatted. They shared about God's love and things. And this girl said, I just don't know if God would really love me. And I don't know if God would forgive me. And she was struggling on crutches. And Chloe said, oh, well, can we pray for you? Are you in pain? And she said, yeah, I am in pain. What it is, she'd been taking drugs and she'd been injecting into her legs and it caused like the veins to collapse. And now she like couldn't walk without pain and she was struggling with these crutches. So Chloe and Russo said, well, let's pray for you. And they prayed for her. And just the Holy Spirit just filled her with God's love. And they said, have a little walk now. She began to walk and all the pain had left. She could walk with no pain. She started to cry and she realized that God does love her and that God does want to forgive her. And they prayed together for her to accept Jesus. And she knew that even though she had got herself in a situation with some of her actions, but God loves and God loves to meet us when we're in trouble. So whenever we find ourselves in this position, let's not hold back, but run to God straight away because he loves us. The second thing I think sometimes we don't ask is because we're just used to cracking on ourselves, aren't we? We're solution-oriented people and we just used to getting the job done and finding a solution. And then sometimes it's only when it gets like really, really bad that we remember, oh, I should pray about this, you know? But let's invite God. In James, it says this again. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. And sometimes we can save ourselves a lot of worry and stress as we're trying to think of things and think of solutions and sometimes even change a situation that's out of our control. But when it's out of our control, let's bring it to God in prayer because he is a God who can do the impossible. I remember when I was in my first year of university and I'd been having some dental work. So I've been back and forth to Swansea a lot in that kind of first term. And so I wasn't there a lot in some way. I mean, it was, but I wasn't, you know. And anyway, basically, it got to the time where everyone was going to be moving into their houses for the next year and getting their housemates and things. And because I'd been away quite a lot over this period, I'd like missed the boat. And everyone had already sorted themselves out. And the friends that I had already sorted themselves out. And I lived with some lads on the corridor I got on with. I didn't really want to live with them the next year. And I was just stuck, you know, I was stuck. And I just didn't know what to do. And I was worried about it for days and days and days. And then eventually I thought to pray about it. And I just began to pray. I was like, Lord, you know, I don't know like what I'm going to do. I might have to live with people I don't know or whatever. I was like, will you help me find a solution? And as I was praying, I just had this sense that there was this event on down in the pub that another church, not the church I went to, but some people from another church, they were going to the pub after their meeting, and they used to do that every week. And I just had a sense that I should go. But I would never normally go to this because, do you know what I mean? It wasn't something I'd normally go to. So I hadn't planned to, but I just felt I should go. So I just went. This was straight after praying. So I just went down straight away to the pub. And sat in the pub there was one of the lads I knew from my halls, a really nice lad, and three of his friends from the church who I'd met before, and they were really nice. And so they were chatting and stuff, and they invited me over. Oh, do you want to... Well, so we started chatting. And they said, oh, we're all moving in together next year, and we're just chatting about the house and where we think we might live. And then Ben, who was the guy I knew was a friend of mine, said, oh, you know, what are you doing next year? And I was like, oh, actually, I haven't got anything sorted yet. And then they all went, well, do you want to come and live with us? And I was like, yeah. Great. Thanks. I was like, oh, why did I do that before? You know, and it was amazing. And we had a brilliant time. We had such a good time about the first year. We all stayed together for the second year. And some of them were going to come down to our wedding next year, so that's exciting. So it was really good. And I was like, oh, Lord, thank you. And we can ask for these things. Now, Mick, I was thinking, who's a person who loves to crack on and get a job done? And that would be Mick in the church. Wouldn't you agree with that, Linda? Like, Mick, if there's a man with a job to do, it's Mick. Now, when Mick and Linda first moved to Swansea, you moved onto the same street where my parents lived, isn't it? And I remember the thing with Mick was, often on a Saturday morning, Mick would like to get some jobs done, and we'd be like lazy around the house in pajamas or whatever. And then, like, you know, if the gate was broken or Mick had noticed the fence was, you know, something, he would offer to come and fix it. So sometimes you get a knock on the door like 7:30 in the morning. And we'd all be in our pajamas or whatever and breakfast. Oh, no, who's going to answer? Who's the best? Who's the most, like, you know? They'd be like, it'd normally be me. So I'd have to go like, oh, morning, Mick. And you just feel like so lazy. The Mick's up. He's washed. He's already, you know, I don't know, done a million jobs. And he's like, oh, do you want me to fix the fence or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Dad, do you want Mick to fix the fence? So like, Mick's a man who loves to crack on. But a few, years ago or whatever, he was starting to get arthritis in his fingers, wasn't he? Especially in his forefinger. And one week we were just chatting. He's like, well, you know, everyone's getting prayed for. Why didn't you pray for me? So we prayed for him, and the arthritis in his fingers got healed. And then he's had some other things like knee pains and tennis elbow and shoulder pains and stuff that have been giving him difficulty with work. And week after week, he would just come up after the meeting. We'd pray for these different things. Sometimes they get healed straight away. Sometimes we'd pray over 3 or 4 weeks and then they would go. And he has seen amazing healings over this time. And like, you know, he's a man who loves to crack on and get the job done, but also knows that the power of God for our lives to do the things that we can't do. And it's been amazing to see. And that brings us on to the third thing, is to know that we can ask more than once. When we pray, we can ask more than once. And often when we've asked God for something once and it hasn't happened straight away, sometimes we hesitate from asking again. Or there's, you know, and I know it's hard sometimes, and there's the challenge of disappointment or discouragement, but to know that we can ask more than once. And Jesus invites persistent prayer. And Jesus teaches consistently about consistent prayer, and he encourages it. So in Luke 9, he says, so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. And the kind of the tense of the verb here is to keep on doing it. And in Ephesians, Paul wrote, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So we're permitted to persist in prayer. And at times as well, we should expect to persist in prayer. We should expect to persist. That's why Jesus, when he taught on prayer, he continually taught on persistent prayer. So when we pray, and we need to pray more than once, that's okay. And that's normal. And actually, we should expect that to happen too. Just like sometimes it happens straight away, and sometimes we persist, and both are fine, and both are good. And so we're permitted, and there's real power in persistent prayer. And we have found in the church here, when many times we've prayed for people, we've encouraged them to come up for prayer every Sunday. And as they've come week after week after week after week, we've seen a shift and a move, and we've seen change happen, whether it's healing or other kind of breakthroughs, because there's power in persistent prayer. And that's why Jesus invites us to do it. And I know sometimes it can be a challenge with discouragement, especially where we've been praying for something over many weeks or many years. But there's one famous occasion in when Jesus was in Capernaum and he'd returned from a trip and the crowds were gathering and there was a lady there who had been suffering with a long-term condition. And when Mark describes it, you can feel and hear her discouragement in the description when he says a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. And she had suffered a great deal from many doctors and over the years spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. And you can feel the pain in it. But on that day, when she saw Jesus coming, she knew what Jesus could do. And says so she pushed through the crowd and she reached out to touch him. And as she reached out to touch his cloak, the Holy Spirit, the healing power of the Holy Spirit entered her body and she was completely healed. And Jesus didn't know what was happening. And Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" He didn't know. Now, the great thing about this is for us, we can know that when we approach Jesus and he heals in the power of the Holy Spirit today, that in this occasion, Jesus didn't know what was happening and the Holy Spirit's power healed this lady. And that's because God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they all want the same thing. And so for us today, when Jesus lives in us by the Holy Spirit, when we approach God in prayer and when we invite the Holy Spirit to bring healing, we know that he wants to just as much as Jesus does. And so she says, "Who touched me?" And this lady reveals herself and he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And she went away healed. And so for us, we can know that we can persist in prayer and we can reach out to Jesus and we can be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit, just like this lady was. And the story that really encourages me is my own mum's story. And I know lots of you know it, but I'll share it again, because what happened when my mum, I was in primary school and you were training to be an aerobics instructor, because that's what people used to do in there. Pre-Zumba and all that, aerobics was the thing. And it was for the church so they could put classes on for the community. And one day when she was doing sit-ups in the gym, a guy threw a medicine ball at her. She caught the medicine ball, but the shock of it caused this like whiplash injury. She got rushed to hospital, screaming in pain, lost the feeling down one side for a while, then it came back, and basically you had a neurological disability, and she was in pain every day. She lost the strength down, it was the left side, wasn't it? The strength all down the side, constant pain, neck and shoulders. And I remember as a kid, it just like affecting everything, like everything every day, all the time. You had to be so careful. It would be like, you'd feel really sad when maybe, you know, a kid, whatever, you'd be boisterous and you'd like bump into mum or shrug her off or something. And then you would like cause this spasm and you'd be in bed in pain for weeks and you'd feel so bad about it. And even dad, and then when you'd be driving the car, if you like change the gears, when there was a jolt, it'd be the same in there. You'd be in bed for weeks. And I remember the other thing, we used to have these wheat bags, the ones you heat up in the microwaves, and we used to have loads of them in the house. And between me, Chloe, and Rachel, at the end of the day, when it would be really bad, we'd be on this like constant cycle from the microwave to the lounge, keeping these warm bags on my mum's shoulder, you know, because she's in pain all the time. And she had this for years, like 7, 8 years or something. And, you know, obviously my dad was praying for her all the time, you know, all the time we were praying. And then one day we were in the church up at Penlan, in a meeting, and there's a guy called Sam speaking, and he just said, he just stopped his talk. He said, "I feel like there's someone here with a neck or a shoulder injury that God would like me to pray for." And my mum stood up and he prayed for her once, nothing happened, twice, nothing happened, three times, nothing happened, four times, five times, six times. It was starting to get embarrassing and awkward, but he continued to pray, and then eventually my mum felt a difference, and she's like, "Oh, I just feel it's a little bit different." And he continued to pray, and after a couple more prayers, all the pain had completely gone. My mum said it felt like she'd had a man sitting on her head all these years and he'd finally got off. And all the pain went. And she could do the things she couldn't do before. You know, driving used to be a problem, pain, all these things. And it changed. And I remember as like a 14, 15-year-old seeing this, you know. And when you see something like this and you see the difference in your own mum, you know, wow, God is real. And Jesus is alive. And he changes lives today. And it encourages me to never give up. Because we'd prayed many times. Many times. So let's never give up. But know we can persist in prayer. And Paul wrote this, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. So let's know that we can approach Jesus anytime, any place, with anything. And he invites us to do it. And we have permission. And it's good to do it. So that's the first part. Now the second part, this is a bit quicker. Number two, we can ask Jesus, and then secondly is that we represent Jesus in our community and in our street and where we are. So like I said at the start, Jesus moved into Capernaum and he was someone's next door neighbor. And now Jesus lives in you and me. And so we are that person on our street. And together and individually, we represent Jesus in your department, in your family, in your place, wherever we are. And Peter, I like the way Peter puts it. He puts it this way. He says, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. And so Peter says, you are a priest. And now a priest means someone who represents people to God and God to people. Now, when I was in school, I remember in year 7, in the first few weeks of secondary school, and these were the days when I remember being in Mr. Jones' geography class, and my mate Liam Stack had been allowed to go on the computer to use the internet, and the teacher's computer to do some research, and this computer was linked up to the big screen in the screen in the class, okay? So anyway, Liam's working away or whatever, and these were in the days when, like, using the internet was a novelty, wasn't it? And it was before the days of social media. So the only people who were like on the internet were famous people, wasn't it? Do you remember, do you used to do this thing where you'd Google your name and you would see what people would come up who'd have the same name as you? But because we didn't have social media then, probably like MSN Messenger, your own photo would never come up. Do you remember doing this kind of thing? So anyway, Liam Stack's at the thing, and he should be working, but instead he's Googling people's names, all right, to see where the pictures that come up or whatever. Mr. Jones sitting at the desk in front of the screen, none the wiser what's going on behind him. And then all of a sudden, at one point, this comes up on the screen. And he'd obviously Googled my name, and somehow, on Google, was this old picture of my dad from some kind of conference or something he'd been in. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, Matthew's dad's on Google, Matthew's dad's on the internet. And then what it was, you know, they found out whatever, so we were chatting. It was funny. And basically, because it was something to do with the church, isn't it? So, you know, some of my friends knew my dad already, because you're in a new school, you know, no one does. And we were in a Catholic school as well. So, by lunchtime, the news had gone out that Matthew's dad is a priest. Which, obviously, when you're in a Catholic school, was causing a lot of confusion. So I had to clarify, he's not a Catholic priest. And people used to ask me that in school all the time, all through school. Oh, are you going to be a priest like your dad? You're going to be a priest like your dad? And I was like, no, no way, no. There we go. And but anyway. But actually, that is what we are. That's what all of us are. We are priests, and not, you know, priests in the kind of, yeah, in the, you know, you're Catholic or a vicar or that kind of thing. But a priest means someone who represents God to people and people to God. And Peter says, you are a priest. In your workplace, in your department, with your friends, you are like their priest. You are a priest where you are. And you represent them to God and God to them. So there's two parts to this. Firstly, we represent our friends to God. Paul wrote this, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people and ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. So we bring our friends or our work or our school or our neighborhood to God in prayer. I'm a governor in one of the local primary schools, and after the meetings, I always go home and I pray about the things that are going on in the school, you know, and the budget cuts and other stuff, and it's amazing what God does and the things that have happened. So we can pray. Now, we got a small group WhatsApp group, which Sean and Beth lead our small group. And so every day, Sean treats us with his daily picture of Mostyn the dog, which, you know, some of the group really appreciate, and some of us who are, you know, not so, like, into dogs, you're like, oh, is there some news or something going? Oh, no, it's another photo of Mostyn the dog. But occasionally, I love our small group WhatsApp, though, because everyone shares in it when they're praying and answers to prayer and different things and stuff that's going on, and there's always great stories. And just the other week, Laura shared one where she'd been out in New York and visiting a friend and her cousin, who unfortunately had passed away, but Laura got to know his girlfriend and went out to visit and had been praying for this person and had been praying that they would come to know God. And when she went out to visit, they went to church together, and Laura flew back home but didn't think anything had really happened, and she'd been praying. And then Laura sent us this message, says, guys, I'm so happy this morning. God has answered one of my prayers. And she had this text from her friend out in New York, who sent her this and said, I started to watch the Alpha film series and I'm thinking going to the same church we went to on Sunday. And Laura had been interceding for her friend and God had answered this prayer. And isn't that amazing? And so we can represent our friends to God. That's one of the privileges that we have, which is amazing, isn't it? And then secondly, is we represent Jesus to our friends. Paul says, we are Christ's ambassadors. God makes his appeal through us. And as we don't need to remind, there's loads of ways we can do this. You know, we can invite our friends to engage with the things that we do as a church. We've got the Alpha, we've got the Healing Cafe, there's loads of stuff going on. And I got to say, the youth are brilliant at this. Miriam and Hannah, these two girls here, they're amazing. They're in year seven in school. They got like all their friends coming to youth. They're like outnumbered, like 6-1 or something. And you 7-1. It's amazing. The other day in their group, we had 19 youth in that group. And the only two from the church were Hannah and Miriam. And the other half are all their friends. So well done, girls. Doing an amazing job. So well done. So we can invite people, we share our faith in normal ways with the people that we know. We chatting with Gloria last week, and she was saying in the coffee shop she visits, she'd been chatting to some friends on the other table and picked up some Luke and 6 Acts to share with them last week. So ordinary, simple things. And the other week, Helen shared this great story where she'd been in Buttons, our charity shop just up the road in Morriston, and a lady came in and with arthritis, and Helen thought, oh, should I pray for her? But she decided to offer to pray for this lady. Her name was Sandra, not our Sandra, but another Sandra. And Helen prayed for this lady, and then she bought some things and left. And there was another lady in the shop at the time whose name was also Sandra. Not our Sandra, but a different Sandra. So there's three Sandras in Swansea. And this other Sandra, she was really moved watching Helen pray for this lady, and she said that, 20 years ago, I got diagnosed with cancer, and the minister of Cornerstone came over my house to pray for me. And she remembered that prayer, and she was moved, and she was touched by it all those years ago, 20 years ago. And what happened? She used to live in Treboth. One of her neighbors was a part of the church all the way back then, and had invited Julian to come and pray for their neighbor. And she was so thankful and so grateful and could remember being prayed for all those years ago and the impact that had made over 20 years. Isn't that wonderful? So for us, let's remember that as much as real as Jesus living next door in Capernaum, Jesus lives in you and me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a real reality for us. And secondly, let's remember that in our street or where we are, we now are like the Jesus living next door for our friends and our family. And we bring the blessing and love of God into the places where we are through the Holy Spirit and through what Jesus does through us, which is great, isn't it? So should we pray and let's invite the Holy Spirit to fill us again ready for this week and the things that he has for us where we go. So, Lord God, I thank you that you are full of love. I thank you that you love every single person in this room today. And I pray and ask right now, would you fill us again with the power of your love and the presence of the Holy Spirit? And this week, Lord, I pray, would you help us to be and represent Jesus where we live and who we see, and to represent you to our friends and to bring our friends to you in prayer as well. Thank you, Lord. Amen.